Uncle Dennis does the Earth First update from 9 to 9:30 every Thursday night. So I'm going to try to stick to that tradition and do some environmental news. And what I want to start off with is... I'm going to be burping. I'll try not to. So, is some good news tonight, and that is that the European Parliament recently voted overwhelmingly to ban seal product imports. This is a long struggle to achieve this that many groups have been a part of. Sea Shepherds, the International Fund for Animal Welfare, Humane Society, etc. And it's a huge victory because the European Union was, their purchasing of seal products was basically almost totally funding the annual Canadian government seal slaughter that was going on the east coast of Canada. And, you know, this year they had a 380,000 something around there. Quota. And so already things were improving because the price had dropped so much due to the fact that, you know, people just aren't in favor of this huge slaughter anymore and not really buying the pelts. Their quota was 300,000 or so seals, and they only slaughtered about 60,000 this year. So they took in only about 21.3% of their quota, which is already was in a sense a victory because it saved the lives of, you know, hundreds of thousands of seals. But then to top it off, you know, you had the European Parliament coming in and again voting overwhelmingly to ban seal product imports. Now, the European Union's ban is significant because the Canadian sealing industry brings in something like $7 million a year, and about $6 million of that, or more, or something around $6.6 million, comes from the European Union, the purchasing there. So once it's banned, that means it would be absolutely bankrupt. And already it was a subsidized hunt, quote-unquote. It's not a hunt. What they do is they go out and they club baby harp seals to death. And it's totally environmentally unsound. They claim that they're doing it because it's interfering with fish populations, when in reality a healthy seal population supports a healthy fish population. And also, back in the day when there was a lot more harp seals, there was a lot more fish. So their argument is completely bogus. But what was going on every year, and... I think there was a couple of years where it didn't happen due to some kind of, you know, pressure. I don't remember when that was. Unfortunately, I'm not fully up on the timeline. But basically what's been going on every year in Canada is this massive seal slaughter where they go out and they use things called hackapicks that get, you know, punched into the seal's skull. They skin a lot of seals alive. This has all been documented by groups like the Humane Society and the International Fund for Animal Welfare and Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. So I'm just going to share a tiny clip of what the seal slaughter was all about with you before I finish up talking about the European Union ban. This is from the Humane Society of the United States website. It's called Live from the Ice, and it was April 13th, 2009. And Rebecca Aldworth, I've interviewed her before on free radio. She's excellent. She is Humane Society's Canada person, and she's been observing the commercial seal hunt for quite a number of years now. And this is a little clip from this year's hunt that she wrote. She says, "I remember the first time I saw the seal slaughter. Standing on the ocean on a pan of ice, I watched in horror as sealers descended on helpless pups in front of me. I froze, mouthing the word stop over and over, to no avail. Clubs raised and fell in a sick rhythm, blood splattering the ice all around. From the ice, the violence of the kills, the sounds of the clubs and crying seals, and the smell of the blood surround you. Your senses are overwhelmed. You can barely absorb what you are seeing, and it is everything you can do to point your camera, try to hold it steady, and shoot. But your proximity to the killing provides an illusion, no matter how baseless, of the power to intervene. From the air, it's different. You hang 1,000 feet above the killing, watching hopelessly through a lens as sealers run toward unsuspecting pups. You call out to them to get into the water, knowing that they cannot hear you. You curse the sealers as they deliver yet another agonizing death to a helpless baby seal, but your distance from it all makes your helplessness devastatingly apparent. Only weeks ago, we stood on the ice floes in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, surrounded by life. Mother seals and their pups touched noses, pups nursed, slept, and played on the ice. On Saturday, the Protect Seals team filmed the deaths of these seals, and our only ammunition against the cruelty was our high-powered camera. As our helicopter approached, she goes on. She talks about all the different cruelties, horrible things that they saw. I won't go on about that. You can read at the Humane Society of the United States. They have a section of the website about the seal hunt. And you can go there and read all about it. But so it's Protect Seals is the website. And also, like I said, it's a project of the Humane Society of the United States. Again, the exciting thing is that this may be the end of this hunt, and hopefully it will be, because not only is it cruel, horribly cruel, but there's absolutely no economic or environmental basis for it. So in any case, again, the European Union voting overwhelmingly recently, just a few days ago, to ban seal product imports. It's a huge victory for people who are trying to put a stop to this really cruel hunt. And Canada is saying they're going to challenge the legislation. They're threatening to take it to the World Trade Organization. But so it's not something that people can just sit back and think it's over, because Canada is going to challenge it, and it is important for people to stand up and continue to oppose it. And one thing that people can do through the Humane Society, they have a pledge that you can sign on to where you basically boycott Canadian seafood. And, personally, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat seafood. Well, I do occasionally eat a little bit of local fish, but I don't, you know, buy seafood, really. So, you know, I'm not doing it. But even if you're like me and you don't really eat seafood, you can still pledge not to buy seafood products produced in Canada, like snow crabs, cod, scallops, and shrimp, until Canada ends its commercial seal hunt, because even just taking the pledge is saying something. And you can do that. Again, the Humane Society of the United States has their seal project, and it's on the web. You can go and sign on to that Boycott Canadian Seafood pledge. And if you're not already boycotting Canadian seafood, you should be until the seal hunt has ended. And again, they're not saying they're going to stop the seal hunt, but realistically, this EU ban will put a stop to it, unless they can find other markets, which they are going to try to do. They're going to try to find other markets. So again, this isn't something where we can just sit back and say it's over. It's not. But it's a huge victory, and it's good news. So I wanted to share that with you. And also, I wanted to talk about the Buffalo Field campaign, because it's important, but also because it's something that Dennis regularly does on his program. And if you haven't heard of them, they are the only group working in the field every day to stop the slaughter and harassment of Yellowstone's wild buffalo. Hard to believe that in a national park that goes on, but it goes on all the time, where these animals are harassed and killed and hazed, all these kinds of things. And the Buffalo Field Campaign is out there in the field documenting it and sometimes doing direct action, nonviolent civil disobedience, video documentation, which is something that you just heard worked in the campaign to end the hunt against the seals. The only reason why the EU voted to ban those seal products is because of the work of groups like Humane Society, because what they did is they went in there and they got a lot of video of the actual the slaughter going on. The Canadian government's been trying to claim that it's humane, but when people actually saw, you know, seals being skinned alive and all the horrible things that were happening, the European Union, when they were considering the ban, got a flood of comments from people in Europe saying they wanted them to vote you know, to ban the seal products because they had seen these, you know, kinds of things. And so video documentation can be very important. Even as, you know, you heard Rebecca saying she felt helpless as she was taking the pictures and videotaping these incidents, you know, she was doing something. And of course, there's other groups like Sea Shepherds who've actually stepped in and stopped the clubs, you know, and you know, actually gone to jail over it. But it's also important to document. And that's one thing that the Buffalo Field Campaign does. And they have a regular weekly update from the field, and I want to share that with you. And by the way, their website is buffalofieldcampaign.org. There's a huge amount of information there, a lot of photos and documentaries and all kinds of news articles and press releases and old updates and all kinds of stuff that you can check out if you want to learn more about what's happening to the buffalo in Yellowstone, the wild free-roaming buffalo there. But we're going to hear a little bit right now because I'm going to share with you the update from the Buffalo Field Campaign from May 7th, which is, I think, today, or was it yesterday? I don't know. I get the dates mixed up sometimes. So, update from the field. This mama buffalo and her newborn calf have had a very difficult week. Chaos is reigning along the Yellowstone National Park's western boundary as the thumping of chopper blades and the shouts of government agents repeatedly harass wild buffalo families and all wildlife near the Madison River. Nearly 200 buffalo. Isn't it kind of messed up? I'm sorry to cut in, but why are, you know, these government agents that we're paying tax dollars to protect wildlife harassing and killing wildlife? I mean, isn't that a bit strange? That in itself, you know, is something we should be concerned with. Anyway, government agents repeatedly harass wild buffalo families and all wildlife near the Madison River. Nearly 200 buffalo, including dozens of newborn calves, yearlings, and pregnant mothers, have been ruthlessly run off their spring habitat within the Gallatin National Forest. Agents are out harassing buffalo as this update is being written. Newborn buffalo calves and many pregnant buffalo cows have been run for miles through pockets of deep snow, barbed wire fences, thick forests laden with deadfall, fast-moving river currents, mucky wetlands, and steep sandy bluffs. For these babies, it is a terrible and sometimes deadly introduction to the world. The new and developing muscles of these little ones cannot sustain such abuse. Today, mounted Montana Department of Livestock and Yellowstone National Park horsemen have picked up the hazing operation at Yellowstone's border after it left Gallatin National Forest land and are currently pushing the exhausted buffalo deep into the Yellowstone National Park's interior with the assistance of the Montana Department of Livestock's helicopter. 2 days ago, Buffalo Field Campaign patrols witnessed one baby buffalo unable to escape the DOL agents, trying unsuccessfully to negotiate a barbed wire fence. Numerous times, the baby buffalo ran into the sharp, unforgiving fence as its worried mother waited. Frightened, the little one finally scrambled through, only to be continuously pursued by the harsh, aggressive actions of Department of Livestock agents. Yesterday and today, patrols documented buffalo being hazed across the Madison River by horses and the helicopter after being forced to run for miles. The buffalo were exhausted, and yesterday, three little calves narrowly escaped being carried away by the river. One baby buffalo collapsed after it used its last bit of energy to climb the steep bank. It took every ounce of restraint for our patrols not to jump in and help out. Thankfully, the baby was able to finally climb the bank. While these horrific events take a tremendous toll on the buffalo, it is amazing to see the strength and resolve that enables them to escape. And you can watch the Buffalo Field Campaign's video footage from this week and share these images with others so that more people can be made aware of what is happening. You can go to their website at buffalofieldcampaign.org. And you can also read the background on this. I don't really have the time to get into explaining all of the details of why they're behaving in these ways and some of the false claims the government and the Department of Livestock and the National Parks have made to defend these actions, but you can get all the background information at buffalofieldcampaign.org. I will say the justifications are bogus. And I've done a lot of interviews with people working in the field there and read quite a bit on the website here and seen a lot of the claims made by the government. And, you know, basically it involves this claim that they can give cattle this disease called brucellosis, although there's never been any case of it proven that it ever passed from a wild buffalo to a cow. And it's pretty clear what their priorities are. Their priority is the cattle ranchers And that's the sad story that goes on repeatedly across the country, including one of the next things we'll get into, which is the wolves. In any case, they're asking that you take a moment to contact President Barack Obama and continue to urge him to take immediate action to stop the harassment and slaughter of the wild buffalo. And they go on to say, all of these heavy-handed management actions have been taking place south of the Madison River. Next week, the rest of the western boundary lands, including the always cattle-free Horse Butte Peninsula, will be terrorized. May 15th marks the dreaded day where livestock interests demand that all wild bison be forced out of Montana, even though there's not a cow in sight. Your federal tax dollars are being wasted to harass buffalo and all the wildlife in this fragile ecosystem because the cattle industry doesn't want buffalo eating grass, and they claim it's for their cows alone. They use the fraudulent brucellosis argument as means to scare the public into accepting these horrific actions are necessary, yet there's not a single cow in sight, and there's never been a documented case of wild bison transmitting the cattle disease brucellosis back to livestock. And even if there were, neither invasive cattle nor the economic interests of Montana's cattle industry are worth this disastrous management scheme that harms America's last wild bison population, terrorizing the Yellowstone ecosystem and all of her inhabitants. As an example of wasteful government spending, all of the past week's activities have essentially been focused to cater to the interests of one small hobby rancher who won't even have cattle on his ranch until mid to late June, when the buffalo aren't even there. The lives of wild buffalo must not be sacrificed for invasive cattle. So they're asking that you take action, you spread the word, you contact Barack Obama. There's a lot of other things you can do. Check out the website, buffalofieldcampaign.org. They do amazing work every day in the field. And one thing you can do is to go there yourself and volunteer with them or send them needed supplies. They have a list on their website, buffalofieldcampaign.org, to find out more and to find out how you can help out. So I want to let you know real quick, we're going to wrap up with talking a little bit about the wolves. This is a press release from the Defenders of Wildlife. It came out May 4th. And wolves once again in the crosshairs. Delisting rule removes protections for wolves in much of northern Rockies. This is bad news, folks. Bad news. They're going to go out and kill hundreds of wolves if this is not stopped. And I don't understand why Barack Obama, with all of the other things he's done environmentally, and I'm not saying he's perfect, but he's done a lot to turn around some of the crap the Bush administration did, why this is happening. This should not have been allowed to go through, basically taking the wolves off of the endangered species list. Bad. Today, wolves in Idaho, Montana, eastern portions of Oregon and Washington, and northern Utah lose federal protections and become subject to the terms of a federal delisting rule that allows more than two-thirds of the current population to be killed. Why? Livestock. This Bush administration rule was given the green light by Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar only weeks after he took office, in the face of overwhelming public opposition to the Bush rule and without any consultation with conservationists, congressional leaders, or scientists outside the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Now, an already tenuous wolf population will be subject to a scientifically flawed and overly aggressive delisting plan that does not provide for a sustainable and long-term future for wolves in the northern Rockies. The following is a statement by Roger Schlickesine. I hope I'm saying that right. He's president for Defenders of Wildlife. He said, "Today's delisting is a potentially disastrous turn for a venture that began in 1995 in such a hopeful and rewarding manner, the restoration of wolves to their natural landscape in the West." And I'll just jump in real quick to say briefly what an irony that is, that the government put all this money into restoring the wolves, like he said, to their natural landscape in the West, and now they're going to allow two-thirds of them to be killed. This has to be stopped, really. He goes on to say, "We are outraged and dismayed that Secretary Salazar put his stamp of approval on this premature and inadequate Bush administration plan for wolves. We all expected more from the Obama administration, which repeatedly promised it would consult with conservationists, scientists, and other stakeholders on key issues before making decisions. Secretary Salazar rejected our offer to work with him to find the right way to delist wolves in the region, and instead made his surprise announcement that he was removing federal protections for vulnerable wolves with no transparency at all. Defenders of Wildlife immediately filed a request under the Freedom of Information Act so we could learn who the secretary talked to about the issue and what scientific review he undertook, and we are still waiting for an answer. Meanwhile, we are moving to sue Secretary Salazar as soon as possible to overturn this misguided and unwarranted decision. The delisting plan allows these two states to reduce wolf populations to levels that would threaten genetic diversity between populations and undermine the goal of ensuring a healthy, sustainable wolf population in the region. Secretary Salazar's terrible decision leaves us no choice. We will stand up for the wolves and endangered species conservation by moving to challenge this delisting in court as soon as the law allows. And here's a statement also from Susan Stone, who is the Northern Rockies representative for Defenders of Wildlife. All the reasons why this plan was a bad idea when the Bush administration proposed it still stand today. It allows all but 300 of an estimated total of 1,343 of the wolves in Idaho and Montana to be killed. These numbers do not even account for the new pups being born as we speak, who are easy targets for those who would wish them harm. The delisting plan ignores current science on what wolves need to maintain a healthy population over the long term. It also ignores the hundreds of thousands of citizens who have asked for a better plan, and it flies in the face of the fact that wolf populations cannot be distinguished on the basis of political boundaries for the purpose of applying the ESA. With respect to Idaho and Montana, little about this rule has changed since it was rejected and deemed unlawful in a federal court in July of 2008. Idaho, which hosts the majority of the region's wolf population, has already publicly announced its desire to aggressively reduce its state wolf population once federal protections are lifted. Today, there are at least 25 packs on the short list that may be targeted for killing. It is actions such as these that we fear and must prevent. Delisting the wolf at this point in time completely undermines the serious work, consideration, and cooperation among all stakeholders that is necessary before being able to objectively declare the gray wolf recovered. That's from Susan Stone at Defenders of Wildlife. She's the Northern Rockies representative for them. And their website, defenders.org, and you can find out what you can do. Primarily, what people can do at this point is to make their views known to the federal government and certainly representative, probably also Ken Salazar, Secretary Salazar, and Barack Obama about this horrible decision to remove the wolves from the endangered species list. And also you can find out what you can do in Alaska, because they're also under threat with Sarah Palin in there, you know, paying people for every wolf skin and all that. Anyway, defenders.org, Defenders of Wildlife, is doing a lot on the wolves. They even have basically a whole separate section of their website set aside to talk about issues involving wolves. And there's other groups too, like the NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council, and Earth Justice, that have come together with Defenders of Wildlife to take the government to court on this. And that's another way that you can support the wolves, is to support their efforts in the court to overturn this horrible decision. So defenders.org, that's for Defenders of Wildlife website. And some of the other groups I talked about, Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, Buffalo Field Campaign, these are all great groups, and definitely should check them out on the web and support their great work. It is almost 9:30. Dennis, again, Uncle Dennis, doing the Earth First Update from 9 to 9:30 every Thursday night. I was trying to stay in that tradition and do some environmental news. I hope you feel a little bit more informed after listening to that and maybe have some ideas of some things that you can do. And again, great victory with the European Union banning the commercial seal products, which is going to put a huge dent, to say the least, in the Canadian seal slaughter that goes on every year. And you can find out more at the Humane Society of the United States website. And there's a whole boycott of the Canadian seafood that you can sign the pledge on, and other things you can do to try to really put an end permanently to this slaughter that goes on to the baby harp seals every spring in eastern Canada.